This isn't exactly.
Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting will come to order. It's May 12, 2026. It is 5:02 p.m. We're meeting at the Kiawanda Community Center, Faye Jensen Room, Pacific City, Oregon, virtually and in person. The rules of conduct. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. Be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions and refrain from any speech of a political nature. Of note, Jason Stewart has just come on line at 5:03. Okay, the roll call. Officer Anderson, Director
here.
Anderson, Director Strotska,
here.
Director Shoemaker,
here.
Director Dole,
here.
As Director Donahue, I am the chair. We'll look at now item four, the minutes of April 14, 2026, business meeting. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
I move that the minutes of the April 14, 2026 business meeting be approved as presented.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the business meeting minutes for April 14, 2026. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And I was not there, so I am
abstained.
Motion carried. Item number five, our financial report. Accounts payable for April 6th, April 15th, and April 30th, 2026. Are there any questions?
One.
Okay.
The generator stuff. Didn't we do generator stuff the month before?
We did generator, annual maintenance.
Yeah.
Now they found things that needed to be repaired.
So they had a hit list when they did maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird because several of the checks or the individual amounts were the same. Like it was same repair exactly to the dollar.
Well, they might have been split between water and sewer.
Oh.
So they will match. Look,
oh, okay, okay. That's right. So
if that particular generator is used at both places,
yeah.
If the whole free generator doesn't move, it's staying at water.
Okay,
I had a question.
Jason says you're muted, John. Or somebody muted.
I'm muted.
Okay, well, he doesn't have any sound at all.
He didn't have any sound. Why don't you turn yours on until I can get loaded? It's
Oh, okay.
It's asking me to do what I...
How's that, Jason? Yeah, I had a question for compressors.
Okay.
$4,700 in change for Atlas Copo compressors. Was that maintenance? Or was
it isn't annual maintenance.
How many do we have?
We've got two out at Horn Creek,
I'm aware of.
Horn Creek ones. Yeah. These are the Horn Creek ones.
What are they used for?
Well, all the valves and stuff at Horn Creek are all air valves. And so they're mainly used to open and close valves in the automation of when the plant's running or starts up or shuts down.
Okay. On the 15th, we had a couple items from Cherry City Electric for the Connex box. What is that? Was that for a lift station or something? Or?
Well, a while back we bought a Connex box, which is a storage container, like you see on the cargo ships.
Oh, okay.
They added some lighting and a couple of electrical outlets to that so that just to make it more functional, especially if we're called out after hours and need to get in there for something.
The generator repairs you mentioned... They were all like over $1,000. And that was, are those were all just repairs or just regular maintenance?
Well, the maintenance involves a certain number of things, but some of our generators needed, our transfer fuel tank got some water in it. By the way, we're budgeting for a new one. They had to do some fuel, some fuel polishing or servicing, and anything having to do with the coolant system is not covered in the standard maintenance agreement.
Oh.
And in most cases, and I think it was just about every one, they needed cooling system services, and that's not part of the annual servicing. That's in addition to. So in some ways, it was maintenance. There was a couple that needed repair. We had a bad lug on electrical lug on one of the generators. We had a couple of mechanical issues with a couple more of them. But yeah, these were expanded maintenance services and some repair work.
Okay. I see we had some wet well piping project I didn't know about. That was almost $15,000.
It's going to be more than that. We're still working on that project.
What exactly is it?
In fact, we're working on Stroud Lift Station today.
Is that down by the airport?
Yeah, it's actually out by Bob Straub State Park where we're working now. So we have done upgrades at all of our lift stations over the last couple of years as I've kept the board informed about. And however, this is some additional repair work that needs to be done at the lift stations. The discharge piping, that the submersible pumps, when they fire up, they evacuate out the wet wells and push it into our sewer mains. Those discharge lines are in horrible shape. Many of them have been repaired multiple times with repair bands and other things. All of the check valves are failing, as well as all of the isolation valves. The check valve and isolation valves are currently installed inside the wet wells. As part of this upgrade, we're replacing that old discharge piping, but we're also installing concrete vaults and installing a new check valves and new shutoff valves at each lift station. We have two pumps, so that's times two, and we're bringing the check valve and the isolation gate valves out of the wet well and into those vaults where they are out of that nasty environment and can be serviced without us having to go in and do a confined space entry. So this is our critical repairs at these two. We've got a couple of them. The one we're doing this week is Straub Lift Station. We've got Roger Lift Station also on the agenda for a couple weeks from now. And both of those are the ones that are in the worst shape. And so that work had to be done. Otherwise, we were heading toward imminent failure on the discharge lines from several of our lift stations.
Yeah. So budget-wise, what bucket does that come out of?
It comes out of the sewer SDC and CIC fund. It is something we budgeted for.
Okay, I'm online, Tom.
Okay. I had another question, Tom, if you're done.
Go ahead.
We've talked about meters in the past at meetings, and I see Consolidated. There was a check for Consolidated. And meters, what kind of meters?
Just regular 3/4 inch meters.
Okay.
For new construction or failing meters.
Okay. And they're residential meters?
Yeah.
Okay. And is that something that failed and needed replacing, or is it new construction?
A lot of new construction.
Okay.
We've had 5 new houses so far this year, but I do expect probably 3 more in the next month and a half that we're going to be putting in.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah, they're still echoing, Tom.
Okay. Is yours on, John?
Mine's on, but...
Okay. I just might...
So...
You did.
I think that's better. Yep, that sounds better.
So, on the auditing, I see we pay for the auditors.
We're paying as we go.
As we go. Yeah. Okay. And I'm just curious, how's going to do it? You don't know. I mean, are they...
I've been very busy the last couple of weeks with budget, so...
Yeah, okay.
I haven't been working on... and I was gone for a whole week, so...
I just didn't know if, you know, there was a lot of questions or what's going on.
Well, I can tell you that despite a bit of a delay here, as we had to turn our focus from the audit to the next budget cycle, still projected to have that audit done within 6-7 weeks, I believe.
That's
so
good.
Yeah, and then we have to turn around because we're finishing another fiscal year, but at least we're caught up at that point.
Right.
So and I think Rochelle will concur, we're in much better hands with this auditing
These
firm.
These people seem way more capable.
Good.
Very competent.
Yeah, in fact, they're moving faster than we can keep up with them, and that's a pleasant turnaround from past experience.
Well, I knew there were some issues with that, you know, being way behind and all that. I was just hoping it was going well, so it sounds like it's good.
Okay, if no further discussion, I'd entertain a motion for accounts payable.
I make a motion the board accepts the April 6th, 15th, and 30th expense account.
I'll second.
We have a motion and second for accounts payable for the 6th, 15th, and 30th of 2026. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried. Our general accounting for fiscal year 25-26, are there any questions or observations? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 6, our manager's report. John.
Thank you, Tom. Our current system development charges are still lagging behind, and our budget this year will probably take a bit of a hit for that. In our next budget cycle, we're still projecting 10 of each. You know, we had a couple of years where we hit it perfectly. We had 1 year where we had the apartments went in, and we had 23. This marks the second year where our revenue projections for SDCs is going to be half what we projected it to be. We can talk at the budget meeting. Maybe we want to adjust that back to something a little more conservative. It's just the best guess we can make based on past history.
And if you don't project it, then extra money we can get, we can't spend.
We can't spend?
No. So if we projected that we were only going to get 5 and we ended up getting 10, those extra 5, we can't spend that money.
So we're just, what happens?
So it's better if we just project the 10.
It just sits there?
It just sits there till next year.
Oh, till next year. Okay.
Yeah. So I wanted to highlight that in particular because we can already tell that, you know, our budgetary projections for the entire fiscal year will be adversely impacted by that, but that's, you know, just the way it goes. All you can do is make your best guess.
So, John, some of the new houses that are going up, did they pay for those hookups sometime in the past?
Well, some did. There was...
Sometimes, but we still count that in our SDC.
Yeah. We still count that once they pay. And they don't get water and sewer service till they pay, so the developments, and we've got a lot pending.
I can think of four right now that the house is being built. They have not paid for SCCs. They don't have a water meter. They haven't hooked up a sewer, nothing. They're just building a house.
Yeah. So, but we do expect those to come in the not too distant future. I just be surprised if they'll come in within the next month. And we've got a monitoring board in the office that we track all the folks that have requested an availability letter because they're looking to develop a piece of property. And we must have 22 of them, 23 of them listed.
Wow.
So sometimes people don't follow through, but three quarters of the time they do. So these are all properties that are in some state of development.
Because I can go around and tell you there's more than 10 houses under construction at this moment.
Yep.
I mean, I could find all 10 of them for you.
Yeah.
But I don't know when they're going to be finished and whether they paid in the past or they're not going to pay until the next year.
Well, what we find is that usually everything is done and they're ready to move in and need water and sewer service by the time that they
save their money till the last minute.
They generally do. Of course, rates are going to go up on July 1st. And,
do they know that?
They do.
They do.
Most of the people that are building right now are contractors. We've built it before. And so they know about our rates and our rate freezes. And it says it in their application, too, when they sign it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I think it's just the way these things work. Usually they wait until they need the service before they pay for the service. So, but, we're still hopeful we'll get a couple more trickle in, but we've been right where we're at for about 3 months now, probably, with no additional. And we'll see what happens in the last month or so, but it is what it is.
So two questions.
Sure.
It's not legal to require payment before the construction is finished, correct?
No, we don't have anything to charge them for. They let us know when they're ready for water and sewer service, and we install a meter, and once the SDCs are paid, and as soon as we install the meter, their monthly billing starts.
Okay, second question. Has anybody ever done a study to see what the build-out max is in this area?
That's what we do with our master plan.
Yeah, every time we do a master plan. In fact, a big part of the master plan is not only projections of what our demand will be and what our capacity will need to be at build-out. That's a big part of those master plans, which are a 20-year look ahead. And as part of the master plans involves a third-party consultant that evaluates our current SDC rate structure to determine how it aligns with those projections. And we adjust that accordingly. We only get the benefit of that about every 20 years. We could certainly do an off-cycle analysis, that's always a big part of our master plan look ahead. And our master plan now is 2039, 2040 before we're due for a new one.
Yeah, which I think we're going to see a big change in that with the build out, especially now that everyone can have an ADU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the other thing too, is now that the county has approved
Castle Housing.
Yes, now that they've approved ADUs in unincorporated Tillamook County, we used to know what built out means in our service area. Now that every lot theoretically could add an ADU, it's a little hard to know what built out for us means anymore. And, you know, that's something that, we'll have to just wrestle with. But that does impact the projections because it's a big unknown now. And so, you know, we'll see how that lines up. But our current SDC rate structure was based on the projections that were made in 2020 when our current water and sewer master plans were done. So, did that help?
Yeah, it creates more questions.
Wanted to touch on our unaccounted for water. It's something that I'm been bringing up nearly every month. I mentioned last month that I did a study where I went back as far as I've been doing those unaccounted for water reports that I include in the board packet, which goes back to early February 2023. And we're primarily focused on the percentage of water unaccounted for water until recently, when I started looking at volume totals instead of percentages, because the volume totals really tell the better tale. And I can tell you that we've been at about a million gallons difference. That's not a new development. That goes back 3 years now. So what that tells me is if this is due to water leaks, those water leaks have been in place and undiscovered for 3 years. Because of this, I am strongly beginning to suspect that we've got a problem with our main production meter at Horn Creek, which is causing this. And we may not really have unaccounted for water at all. We may have a water meter that is lying to us and making us think we do. So we are budgeted for a new water meter at Horn Creek. It is a 12-inch line, which is a big water meter. And interestingly enough, magnetic water meters at that size are cheaper than mechanical water meters, and magnetic meters are much more accurate. So since we can get a more accurate meter for several hundred dollars less than we can get, just replace the propeller meter, the mechanical meter in place, we're going to install a mag meter because we might as well get the most accurate reading that we possibly can. And very interested to see how these numbers are impacted once that's in place.
Do you notice it more in times that we use Horn Creek than we do the wells?
Well, yes, for the most part, I can answer that yes. We are, this month, before the end of the month, we're going to do a couple of other studies. We're going to go on the wells for a whole month, which is not something we usually do in good weather. And we're going to isolate the transmission main. We're going to shut it off from Horn Creek. And, you know, just to rule out anything on that main transmission line and anything at Horn Creek, and we're going to see what the numbers add up to then. And then we're going to reverse that. We're going to shut off the water mains coming from the wells, and we're going to shut those off to completely isolate the wells from the system, and we're going to stay on Horn Creek, and we're going to compare those numbers to see if we see some difference, because you know, we're not just not going to run the wells. We're going to shut off the entire line all the way to the wells from our major water main. So we've got a couple of things up our sleeve, but it does. We don't use the wells enough to have this kind of difference, I don't think. I think if it's a meter problem, it almost has to be our production meter at Horn Creek. And that's an original meter. It's been in service continually since Horn Creek went online, which, Ann, that's got to be when? That's 2011?
Aye.
2011 is when it went online.
When we went online.
But we started building in 2009.
In 2009.
So the meter could have been there in 2009.
Which means that meter's well over 15 years old, or over 15 years old. So it's probably time to swap that out anyway.
So we see you're looking at after the first of the fiscal year to replace that. How much are we looking at for that?
I believe it's between $8,000 and $9,000.
Oh, okay.
It's not a ton of money.
Okay.
But we could move faster on it, but I think this would come out of an account that we're already pushing the razor's edge on.
That's fine. I was just curious what we were looking at.
But it's going to be the first thing we purchase as soon as July 1st gets here, and we're going to get that installed. And hopefully we see a significant difference in these readings, because I'm running out of explanations here.
Hopefully that's going to resolve it.
So that'll come first, and if you see a significant change, maybe not do the isolation of Horn Creek?
I think we're still going to go forward with that. We don't necessarily, the wells, we prefer Horn Creek as our water source. And generally during the months where we have better weather, we don't run the wells because there's no reason to do it. This would be a situation where we're running the wells on purpose during a period of time when normally we don't have to. But I think it's an analysis that we need to do just to start ruling out what few variables I have left. There are check valves on the water lines from the wells. Each well has a check valve. Well, we've talked about this before, but didn't think it was a strong possibility. But what if one of those check valves has failed, and when we're running Horn Creek, we're actually adding water to the aquifer from Horn Creek, because with that check valve not working, it is theoretically possible to charge to recharge the aquifer with water from Horn Creek. Now, it's not likely. It's theoretically possible, but by isolating these lines, if we do have a check valve problem, that won't play a part in it, because we'll have that line isolated and no water will head down to the well fields anyway. With our system, when the wells are running, it charges the whole system up to Horn Creek. And when Horn Creek's running, it charges the whole system clear to the wellheads, typically. And so we want to rule out those check valves as a possibility. We want to rule out a leak on the transmission main that's buried under the river. And by isolating that transmission line at Horn Creek, and we would isolate it where it crosses the river and comes out about the proximity of Resort Drive and Redicott. So we would isolate that entire Horn Creek line all the way from that point across the river to Horn Creek. Worst case scenario is, hey, we got a leak in our transmission main and the leak's right under the river. Mm-hmm. Because that line is bored under the river.
I think we actually looked at that at one time, didn't we?
We've looked at that as a possibility, and actually the Horn Creek side of this isolation, we've already tried once, but we're going to try it again. The well side of the isolation, we have not. So we're still going to do that, but I think there's a good chance that we're not losing this water at all. I think that we've just got a meter that is making us think that we're losing it. So we'll see, and if it turns out to not be the case, it was time to replace that meter probably anyway. So I just wanted to touch on this. We just can't find any other source. So also, I had mentioned in the past that we had launched a geographic information system initiative at the authority. This is a system that that has various layers to where if you want to see all our water mains, you use one filter. If you want to see just our fire hydrants, there's another filter. If you want to just see our blow-offs or anything else, our lift stations, any of that stuff, you just add layers. And this is a precise geographical mapping system, and we have made remarkable progress in only the last 6 months. And this has been completely a grassroots effort. Most people, I don't want to say most people, but a lot of systems hire a consultant to put these together, which costs a lot of money. All we're doing is paying a modest subscription fee to software, and we are populating it ourselves. The only investment we had to make in that was we invested in a ground-penetrating radar system, which looks like a lawnmower, but locates our water and sewer lines precisely. That combined with a high-quality GPS, and we have mapped probably 50% of our system in only 6 months, doing it all in-house. And this will eventually replace our paper mapping because we know exactly where everything is, right down to precise GPS coordinates. And I'm not talking about plus or minus 10 feet. I'm talking about plus or minus 3 inches.
Awesome. That's great.
Not only is this going to be an extremely helpful tool when people like Leonard decide to retire and he takes all that institutional knowledge about where everything's buried with him, this system will still be here and still be a valuable tool. Anybody, including somebody who's just worked here for a week, using that system can precisely identify every pipe in the ground in this town. And not only has it made, when we do get locates, not only has it made our locates go much faster, but our locates are much more accurate. So we aren't going to have situations where contractors hit a poorly located line because we had to make our best guess on where it is. So the point being is it's time to share this with the board. I think the board will be very impressed by this. This is an excellent tool. Everybody's doing this these days. And, you know, PCJ, usually the smaller places are the ones that always lag behind. But we brought PCJ into the modern technological world with this stuff, and it is going to reap a lot of benefits for us in the future. And we're excited to show our progress to the board. So I think, you know, Jason Stewart, who has been one of the leads on this project and knows it better than I do because he works with it every day, he will join us at our next month's meeting. And I'd like to set aside about a half hour for him to go through the system and show you what we've got, what it does, what it looks like, answer questions. And for that part of the meeting, we'll probably all be facing the screen instead of having our backs to the screen. But I think the board will be very pleased and very impressed with what we put together. And we add to it, you know, probably almost every day. And we should have the entire service area accurately mapped by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So it might be a good idea to make sure that Tim is here from the Sun, because I think that would be really great for him to see that and do something.
I think so too. Yeah, I'll you know, Tim gets a copy of the board packet, but I'll reach out to him and tell him this might be one he wants to come to in person, because I think it'd be a great story for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is really, really a positive development for the authority. So.
Good suggestion.
Yep, quick thing about the generator enclosure project. All we've got to do is the generator exhaust at the three locations, and the project is completely done. We've already got the generators on site at these locations, which has freed up a lot of badly needed space in our shop buildings. And, you know, the real benefit is this will greatly increase our greatly decrease our response time in the event of a power outage to make sure our customers have as minimal interruption to service as possible. So, but it's been a project that I've talked about a long time. It's been a project, you might recall, I had to just kind of take over myself, and I'm glad to report that, you know, the fencing work, the grounds work, the building construction, the concrete pad, the electrical, all that's done. We just need to finish the exhaust work, and this project will be complete, and will also serve us well in the future.
No, that's wonderful news. Congratulations.
Yeah. Good job.
You pretty much spearheaded that whole project on your own. That was very, very well done.
Well, I appreciate it. It's a lot of different types of contractors involved in this project, just about every type of contractor you can imagine. And we were able to keep it going at a pretty good pace. And thank you, though. I'm just pleased that we're winding down on it and it's almost done. The last thing I wanted to mention as part of the manager's report, for the second month in a row, we had two employees pass additional certification tests. Jeb Pippinger, second test he's passed in two consecutive months. And Jason Stewart also passed a test. And, you know, when I came on board, we had almost nobody certified. Now almost everybody at this point is certified at the maximum level they can be.
Yes.
So it's, want to acknowledge those two, Jason Stewart and Jeb, for going after it and getting it done. And I'm very, very pleased that that the employees are going after this.
Please forward our congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you. I will do that.
Great job.
But that's it for the manager's report, Tom.
All right. Thank you, John. We'll move on to item 7, unfinished business. Our 600K reservoir radio tower proposal. Where are we at with that, John?
Yeah, well, as you know, South Tumwater County Emergency Volunteer Corps first approached us with interest to put a radio tower at our 600K reservoir site. And before the board could even vote on their proposal, we were approached by the Tillamook County with the same interest for the same purpose at the same site. Tillamook County is still working on their proposal. Once their proposal is done, they will share it with the board. One of the major developments for this since our last meeting is the adjacent property owner, who owns the lower two-thirds of the access road to the 600K. I called him, asked him to meet with me, and he did. He had already given his approval for the Volunteer Corps proposal. The Tillamook County proposal will have much more impact on him because it means additional traffic, additional access that will have to come through his property. The construction phase of the tower now with Tillamook County is going to be 2 to 3 months, so there'll be a lot of activity up and down that road during that period of time. Tillamook County wants to bring power to the tower location. They don't want to rely on solar power and battery packs. They want to bring Tillamook PUD power up there, which is good news for us because we've always wanted power up there, and that's one of the benefits that we would gain by approving Tillamook County's proposal. But what it means, though, is this power line is going to be buried along the access road all the way to the top, which means it's going to, two-thirds of that line is going to be buried on this adjacent property owner's property. And now this property owner is going to have additional easements and access agreements and other things. So this does, with Tillamook County's involvement, this does impact the property owner much more than if it was just the volunteer corps. Now, I met with this person, very, very good guy. You know, he's not exactly thrilled by the prospect, but he's open to considering it. He understands the benefit to the county and the local communities from an emergency response and public safety standpoint. And I think he fully supports that. But he's got a few questions of his own. So my next job is to put him in contact with Tillamook County. Up to this point, you know, I coordinated this job between the two interested parties. They both are willing to collaborate on a single tower for both purposes. And I've made the initial outreach to the adjacent property owner. At this point in time, I don't think it should be our job to be a mediator. I think that it's now up to the county to negotiate with this adjacent property owner directly.
I agree.
Sounds reasonable there.
And so that's really the update on that particular issue or that particular project. And I just wanted to bring the board up to speed on where we're at this point in time. I would expect Tillamook County to have a proposal ready by our next board meeting. But, you know, if the adjacent property owner doesn't want it, he's got the power to say no. And they don't have any way to get there because they've got to access his property to get to the site.
But he is okay with the volunteer?
He's okay with that.
That will not tear up the road. It's just going to be strictly solar and battery up there for that.
Yeah, and less access with less numbers of people. And you know, he's got a couple of questions. He's got a couple of concerns. I think that they can be worked out. But we have to let that play out to even know. I don't think it's worth the board considering Tillamook County's proposal unless we have that adjacent property owner on board.
I agree. It's in his ballpark now.
It really is. And but a very, very good guy. I think there's a good chance that we could come to an agreement on this, or Tillamook County and this property owner. But we have to see how that plays out. If he doesn't accept the additional access from Tillamook County, we would probably revert back to just the more modest plan that the volunteer corps had. Mm-hmm. So I'll keep the board posted, but that's the update on that particular issue.
Thank you. Item 7D, I believe it's DEQ, wastewater discharge permit requirements update?
Yeah, Tom, I think you did miss the initial discussion about that, but just as much as an FYI than anything, I brought this to the board's attention at the last meeting. To discharge our wastewater effluent into the Nestucca River, that requires a discharge permit. And those are issued by the county. The permits are good for a 5-year period. Our previous permit actually expired about over a year ago, and we've been working under a grace period under our old permit and its terms and conditions while DEQ wrote our new permit. Well, finally, as I mentioned at the last meeting, got the draft of the permit from DEQ, and It wasn't completely unexpected, but DEQ had, was essentially proposing that we double all of our monitoring, from everything from BOD to pH to temperature to ammonia and all the parameters that we monitor. I was given about a 3-week comment period. During that time, I wrote them a letter and asked them basically to review our permit again to see if some reductions in the monitoring that was proposed could be made. You know, I made a couple of arguments that, you know, hey, we don't have a history of violations. The ambient water quality in the river hasn't changed in the last 5 years, to my knowledge. So why the increase? And didn't really expect much to come out of it, but I got a call from the head permit writer for DEQ about a week after I sent the letter. And not only have they decided to reduce our monitoring permits, our monitoring requirements back to what they were currently, they have decided to reduce those by half. So instead of a BOD test every week, we only have to do 2 a month now. Instead of a total suspended solids test every week, now we only have to do 2 a month. Our E. coli, they moved from once a week to once a month.
Wow.
So I was very pleasantly surprised and
shocked.
I really was, but you know, the truth is that I think our past performance justifies it. And after taking a closer look at our performance history and my objections, they decided to cut back further than I imagined they would. The best I was hoping for is they'd go back to what it was before.
I know.
So anyway.
I think the term you used last month was you thought they might tell you go pound sand.
Which could have happened.
Could have happened.
We were warned that that might happen.
Yeah. So this is fabulous.
Yeah.
This is really great.
And, you know, because we were gearing up for a lot more labor time for the lab work, a lot more lab supplies to accommodate the additional testing. And now, instead of having to increase our budget for that, we can decrease our budget for that. So,
amazing.
Very good news. It is out.
Hardly ever happens.
It is out for a public comment period right now, which is also part of the game. Mm-hmm. I believe that public comment period is 2 months.
Starting when?
It would have been last week. And I don't expect any comments, but this is something you know, every time they issue a new permit or propose a new permit, they got to put it out for a true public comment period. As long as we get through that, they will issue the final permit and it'll reflect those changes. So,
do you think it'll be another 5-year permit?
What's that?
Will it be another 5-year
permit? It'll be another 5-year permit. And I asked him if it was going to be retro back to when the last one expired. No, that's not how it works. It'll start fresh and be good for 5 years.
Okay.
And so once the comments period's over, if there's no changes or no significant comments, they will issue us a new permit, and we won't have to worry about that process again for another 5 years.
Well, thank you for not laying down.
Well, I figured it was worth a try. You know, what could it hurt?
I can't believe it. It doesn't happen very often.
No. And you know, usually the requirements only get more and more stringent.
More.
And more and more. But, you know, I brought the board, I mentioned to the board last month, just as an FYI, and now I have to follow up as an FYI to the board this month to just let you know where things look like they're going to land. So I hadn't really planned on putting this on the agenda for a second month in a row, but now I have to. So.
All right. Item 8, new business. Our authority manager review process should be starting here.
Yeah, my anniversary date is July 19th. Because we had, we're breaking in a new HR firm, we were quite delayed last year. I think no reason that we have to be that late this year. You know, and I know it's a process. You know, we've got to do the employee interviews. I've got to do my self-assessment. The board has to wait until both those things are done before you can do your assessment. And, Tom, you know, at some point maybe we want to throw out a tentative calendar just to make sure we stay on track. But I don't see any reason that we couldn't plan to have the executive session for my review at the July 14th meeting, which is only 5 days before my anniversary.
Except I won't be at that meeting, and I want to be at the meeting.
You won't be at the meeting? You're not going to be there? You have a conflict.
I'm going to be in Pennsylvania to visit my grandson.
Oh. Well, we can throw together something after the fact.
We can do a special meeting.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be part of a board meeting.
We shouldn't hold it up. Let's plan a date and get going on it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll let everybody know what our review time periods are as soon as I get notification from our HR consultant of what the responses were from our employees.
Okay. Mainly I'm just wanting to know if the board thinks it's appropriate for me to get the employee interview scheduled at this point in time.
Oh, I think so. I believe we did that in May of last year, but the form wasn't done. I can't recall what held it up a little bit.
Well, what held it up is that we signed on with a new HR firm.
That's it.
And by the time that they had put together their list of questions and sent it to the board for review and approval, and we got it back to them, I think that probably set the... I think that put us a couple months behind.
Yeah, I agree. I recall now. Thank you. Okay. Well, I would suggest we go ahead and let them know that we're interested in doing that again.
Okay.
And let's move on to our authority manager retirement succession plan, item B.
Yeah, you guys have all read the manager's report. You guys have heard me talk about this for a while now. After careful consideration, my wife having a big say in it, I need to formally announce my retirement to the board. And I'm doing that at this time. My last day as authority manager will be December 31st of this year. Now, that's still quite a ways out. It's seven and a half months out as we stand today. There's a lot to do, but that should give us enough time to do it.
Maybe.
I think, we were talking. I think when I came on board, the process took 4 months, approximately, from start to finish.
And that was with going one round. When we did the previous manager, we had to go two rounds because the first round of candidates were not up to par. And so that took a little bit extra time and extra money. So we need to get started soon.
Yeah, we've got time, but we need to start thinking about it. And I want the board to know that a very bittersweet type of thing. I've really enjoyed my time as manager of the authority. I think we've accomplished some good things, and it's just time. So my suggestion is, because there's a number of things that has to take place. When I was hired, we hired a recruiting firm called Prothman, who I think did a good job and did most of, a lot of the heavy lifting. One of the advantages of hiring a recruiting firm like this is that they filter the applicants. They do the preliminary interview of the applicants, and then therefore what they pass through to the board are people that have already been vetted and already are supposedly qualified for the position. You know, there's a flyer that was put together when I was hired that I think should be used again with some updates. It was a big, colorful kind of brochure, even very nice advertisement for the position. And, you know, I think they would use that again with some updates. I think there was also a supplemental questionnaire, which was one of the most difficult things as part of my experience coming on board. It was the most strenuous interviews and the process for me being interested in the job to me getting the job was more difficult than any other job I'd ever pursued, but it was worth it, and I think it's very valuable for the board and for the recruiting firm to evaluate the applicants. And I can tell you that you will have external applicants that are interested, and we'll have internal candidates that are interested. But I think what we need to do as the first step, and we can do this in executive session, is I think we need to have a meeting, a special meeting, to where we can begin to strategize the recruiting process, the hiring process. There are decisions that have to be made, starting salary ranges and other types of things that the board needs to decide on. I can also share some of the tools and the processes and the materials that were used as part of my hiring process for me that, you know, I can share with the board. Currently, there's only one member of the board that was here when I came on board at the authority. And that's Tom. Kathy, you were part of the interview process, but maybe not much more inside information than that. So, you know, we've got four board members that have to go through a pretty rigorous process that haven't gone through it before.
Right.
So I think a planning session is in order.
Yeah, I agree, and I think sooner rather than later.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I was just looking at our calendar. I agree also. We have a budget committee meeting next Tuesday. That's a week from now. And if we could have that executive session after the budget committee meeting. It might draw that meeting out a little longer. But like you say, I think sooner better than later. We're already going to meet. The budget meetings usually go fairly quickly, usually within an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half, or less sometimes. So,
what day is that? Is that a Tuesday?
Tuesday 19th.
May 19th is our budget committee meeting. So that's my suggestion, if that works with everybody. We've got to be at the budget meeting. Or if it doesn't work out, maybe we could do another day. This depends on our schedule. But I think sooner and later than later is a good, that has merit. That's a good idea.
Michelle, I mean.
There's nothing that says you can't do it during the day. You don't have to do it at 5 p.m. If everyone's available at 11 a.m., we can do it at 11 a.m. You can do it at the conference room. You do it here. It's entirely up to your schedules.
I like the idea of the conference room, just because there's a whiteboard in the conference room that we could throw ideas out on unless we get something for here.
Is this where we're going to have the budget meeting?
We're having it here at KCC.
Yeah, well, I guess what you're saying is we've got options.
You do have options.
And there's nothing that says we can't add it on to a budget meeting.
We could. My only dilemma is it can't go in the newspaper because we're past our deadline. So we will have to spread the executive session notice around the community in a very timely manner.
Would the executive session be called a special session? Because then I think you only need 24 hours.
It is, but you have to make sure that it's, I mean, we got to put it at the KCC, at the post office, at the library, has to be on the website. You got to make sure that it gets seen by everybody. And that's why we usually put everything in the paper, because then we don't have to worry about really forcing it on people. Because it is still a public meeting. We'll call to order, say we are here to go into executive session. Goodbye, public. Do the executive session. Public can come back in. You guys make your motion or decision, and then we adjourn.
And there is an executive session that is worded for precisely this purpose.
Yeah.
So we know it's legal to do an executive session.
Yeah, the Oregon Revised Statute. There's actually a statute that covers that call. Okay, well, any other suggestions?
I mean, I think it's probably a good idea that we just go ahead and do it after the budget committee, if we can, you know, get that out and done. I mean, we're going to be here anyway, and it's getting to be that time of year where a lot of people are here and there and hit and miss.
I'm open. It doesn't matter for me.
We're all planning to be here for the budget.
Yeah, you guys right? Set a date. I'll be here.
Yeah, I'll be here for the budget committee. So I think we should. I think we should just plan to do it after the budget committee.
Yeah, and it's legal to do. It's legal to do the 24-hour advertising. I believe, right?
Yes, but I mean, I'd rather give people more.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
24 hours.
So would it be possible for you to bring like flip chart or something that we could do some writing on?
We've got an easel that I think we have flip chart stuff.
Yeah, we've got that.
Yeah.
We've got that.
Whiteboard, or maybe the KCC has a whiteboard, I don't know.
Is there a whiteboard in the hobby room, do we know?
I don't know.
I'd have to walk over there.
I don't remember.
I've got one that I can bring here.
I think we can accommodate that.
Yeah, I know I definitely have an easel. I think there's a whiteboard, because I think we used it for the flagging class last year.
Oh, we did. I think we did. And we've also got, you know, the big flip papers, too, if we want to just, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah, I think we can provide that.
I just think it would be helpful to us if we have a visual for writing things down. And
it's called a shotgun. Boom. Scatters on everything.
Okay. Well, the day's coming.
Yeah, well, I
not feeling bad, are you?
Well, I kind of am, actually. I'm feeling a little guilty, but on the other hand, I've...
Knock it off.
I'm ready. I'm also ready. It's been a long career, and I'm just glad that I was able to finish it here.
Okay. Well, that's very, very nice.
You're looking at a bunch of career people that did the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are you planning on staying in this area?
Oh, I'll never move again.
Okay.
Not after what I went through the last time.
Stuck in this house now.
I will never move again. I live in Tillamook, but my intent is to stay there the rest of my life. Okay. And I'm not moving.
No, I've said that a whole bunch of times.
Yeah, more time to use.
It only took me three years to get settled into where I'm at. So I'll be around, and I'll be available for the guys if they need to call up and ask a couple of questions or whatever, and you know I might do like Tony did and go work one day a week at the hardware store or something.
There you go.
But I will always be, make myself available to the authority. And my goal is to make sure that this transition happens as smooth as possible. I might just mention one other thing, just food for thought. And depending on what kind of time and how fast we can turn things around, there was a time when we talked about a temporary position to bring somebody on and give them an opportunity to have me train them for a month or two. You know, what that means is we basically create a temporary position. It would cost more in labor costs for it. It's not necessary. Couple ways to think about it. And I've done this more than once in my career, but when I was hired to do this job, first day I walked in and I'm everybody's boss, but nobody knows me from Adam. I'm in charge of the entire process, but I don't know anything about the process. And it takes some skill to navigate through that and to come out on the other end with the respect of the staff. I was able to do that successfully, but it's not an easy thing. And if things progress fast enough and there's an opportunity to bring somebody on board a month early for me to provide them with some training, it would give that person a lot bigger jump start than I had.
Right.
But it's, you know, it really just depends, and it's really at the board's discretion. But I just want to let the board know that, you know, there's a few ways we can do this, and some of it's going to just be based on how much time we have. But, you know, these are questions that the board should be thinking about ahead of our next meeting.
Yeah, let's talk more about it then. Which segues right into another one of my major concerns under new business is item C, our Broughton Water Water Main Improvement Project. And I talked to John about this a few days ago, and I'll just let you go ahead and update on what you think and where we're going to be.
Yeah, well, naturally, my focus and the remaining time I have is going to be to try to tie up all the loose ends I have so that I'm not handing off something to a new manager that they would have trouble picking up the ball and running with. This job, and I've talked more with our engineering firm, by the way, they're going to begin surveying work next week, it sounds like. There's a natural transition in a project like this. When you've got the drawings done, you've got the specifications done, you've got the scope of work done, you've got the bid documents put together, you put it out to bid, and you've awarded the bid. And then comes the construction phase. There's kind of a natural transition between all that stuff that happens first and then the construction phase that just has to be monitored and overseen by the authority with the contractor that they award the job to. We've got people on staff that once construction starts can manage that construction right now.
Okay.
We don't have people on staff that have a great deal of knowledge about the bid process and having to get approval of the project from the Oregon Health Authority. You have to get approval of the project and permits from Tillamook County. My goal is to have all that done, including putting the project out to bid and awarding the bid by the end of the year. And then construction would start in March to be completed by, to be started in early March, to be completed hopefully by the end of April or the very first part of May. I think that is a transition point where transitioning the manager at that same transition point is going to make me handing this project off not fully completed easier and just more natural. So my goal is to have all that work done by the end of the year, and then therefore the new manager, when the construction phase starts, just has to manage the construction phase of the project. And I have confidence, as I say, we've got people on staff that are knowledgeable enough about this type of work that they can manage that project. And I think anybody that's hired for it, whether they're internal or external, will have that skill set. This is one of those loose ends that I'm not going to be able to stay long enough to see reach completion, but I'm confident that the transition will still go smoothly anyway. And just wanted to mention that just to hopefully alleviate any concerns the board has about me leaving, having started that project, but leaving before it's completed. So I wanted to give a brief update about where we're at. We are making progress. This is a project, though, that we have confirmed the construction phase, we will not make this fall for construction. And the issue is not the road work or the pipeline work. Or when I say road work, I mean the trenching and all that. The asphalt is going to be the issue. And I think it is best to not risk that. That was one of the delays with the asphalt on the Ruppel project, was by the time they were ready for the asphalt, all the asphalt companies had closed up for the season. We do not want to leave North Broughton, one of the major thoroughfares through town, tore up all winter long. We just do not. And a number of reasons for that. There's going to be a lot of trench cuts in that road, perhaps several dozen. And we will be responsible for maintaining those trench cuts all winter long. And I guarantee you, when our customers, the people that call Pacific City their home, spend 5 months driving over those trench cuts, that will not go well for our relationship with our customers. And so, and a lot of businesses along that stretch too. So we want to have this project done before the height of tourist season next year, but we also want to be sure that when we're done with the pipeline work, that there's going to be no delay in the paving work, because that'll be just not a good PR thing for us in the community. And I think it's worth not pushing our luck and just making this construction phase of this project take place in late winter, early spring of 2027. But really, that was all I wanted to mention about that. As I say, hopefully I've reassured the board that this will go off just fine, but I will not be here to see it finished.
All right. Thank you, John.
Well, I'll just say one thing, that John spoke at the Chamber of Commerce meeting, not this last one, the one before, and kind of gave a 30,000-foot view of what the community could expect, and I think that's going to be an ongoing need for whoever takes over to be a part of that. We appreciate you starting the ball rolling with the community in that meeting, and if there's any other opportunities, well, for an update, would be welcome.
Well, during the next seven months, there will be, I think,
Couple seven and a half.
Okay, seven and a half. During the seven and a half, I can say that there will be ample opportunity for me to continue those conversations, and I will continue those conversations and do my best to keep everybody up to speed on where the project's at, timelines, expected timelines. I know when Rupel began to warm up, I sent a personal letter to every property owner that lived on Rupel. I would do the same with this project, and just to make sure they know what to expect, give my best guess as to a time frame when the construction work will be done, which will be the phase of the project that impacts them the most. And especially the business owners along that street that rely on those businesses for their livelihood. And so I will continue that outreach right up until the time that I hang up my hat.
All righty. That conducts or finishes our new business. Are there any questions? Ann, I see you're here today. Did you have anything special you'd like to ask?
A big part of the reason that I'm here is because John sent me the board packets, and so I've had an opportunity to read his message about his planned retirement. And I wholeheartedly wish you every success with that. You're going to love retirement. But I also just want to thank you for your experience that you brought to the job, the way you conducted yourself. And the thing that keeps coming to my mind as one of the most important long-range planning things is the changes that you made, whatever the specific changes were, to the support for field staff to accomplish certifications. And I think your comment earlier about how many people have, virtually everyone on the field staff has completed appropriate certifications, that is so significant for the individual people, for the organization, and for the community. So there are a number of other things that you've done extremely well too, but that is the thing that means most to me as a community member and a former board member.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. How about the directors? Anybody have anything to say? Well, hearing none, it is now 6:19 p.m. This meeting is adjourned.